Well, welcome everyone to this episode of the Liberty Ventures podcast. My name is Alexander McCobin, co-founder and CEO of Liberty Ventures, and just thrilled to be here at Richard Branson's Necker Island right now for the first Principal Business Summit and getting a chance to sit down with you, Sean. For everyone who doesn't know, Sean Nelson is the founder and CEO of Lovesac, just an absolutely incredible company. And you've just got such a fun personal entrepreneurial story, Sean. I would love it if you could just take 2 minutes and share that background with everyone to provide context all for right. all of this.
The short version. Let's see. Lovesac began in my parents' basement in 1998. Actually, I made the first sack 10 days out of high school in 95. Thought it'd be funny to make a giant beanbag. And used it, took it out. Everyone wanted one. Where'd you get that thing? It would fill the bed of a truck. Put it away to go serve a mission for my church, learned Mandarin Chinese for 2 years, came back, found it again, back in college, pulled it out to go to a drive-in movie with friends, and everyone wants one again. So 1998, founded the company to sell to friends and neighbors. These giant, they're not beanbags, they're full of chopped foam, and they're really comfy, and everyone loved it, and loved the brand, and loved the product, and it was my side hustle through college. And it was really bumped along as a side hustle for 2-3 years. I was a waiter paying my way through school, supporting myself while this business kind of dragged me down like a ball and chain. Always things breaking and costing money. You know, businesses, it's hard to make money in the beginning.
What drove you to keep building it and while you also had a part-time job to support this and we're in college? Like, that, yeah. There's just so much there.
Yeah, it was, look, I thought of closing it 100 times. It was just really a pain in the butt. And then we give it one last ditch effort at graduation to take it to a trade show. Got discovered by a big company who ordered 12,000 little sacks from us.
Oh, wow.
Not knowing it was me and a friend and a wood chipper. and we took the order and flew to China to find the fabric and got to use my trainees and began sourcing in China then. And through all kinds of happenstance, that's crazy, which you can read about in the book. It just launched. Let Me Save You 25 Years. Really proud of that. Tells the whole story, but completed that order using farm equipment and tractors and a hay grinder to shred enough foam, built a factory. People wanted to keep working, so we went to the big furniture stores and they laughed at us and told us it was a stupid idea and our name was stupid. And so we opened our own store out of desperation in a shopping mall in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I'm from. And that worked, and we opened 20 more, and then I was recruited to be on this reality TV show with Richard Branson. I won $1 million on this island right over there. It was kind of like The Apprentice meets The Amazing Race. We traveled all over the world and did these crazy challenges. And he became my investor, and that helped us raise venture capital and private equity. And we invented these cool couches that you could arrange and rearrange, because in our first store we had a couch and people wanted to buy it, but we couldn't sell it because they're too hard to deal with. So we reinvented it and birthed what's called Sactionals, which today, fast forward all the way until today, 18 years from the time I was last on Necker Island. And Lovesac is a $700 million company selling mostly Sactionals with 270 locations all over the United States. We're publicly listed on NASDAQ. And we went through all kinds of ups and downs along the way. And like I said, the very long, entertaining story is in the book, Let Me Save You 25 Years.
For so many entrepreneurs, you're living the dream. You started something after you finished high school. You built it up into this incredible business. Not only is it $700 million, it's a public company, what so many entrepreneurs aspire to, but you're talking about all these challenges along the way. What did keep you driving through all of those difficulties?
Yeah, you know, like I said, when I said I've thought about walking away 100 times, it wasn't just in those early hardest days. I mean, there have been hard days. In the book, I share this one moment where we were about $70 million in annual revenues, and I was teaching at a university in New York. We were living on the East Coast. We'd moved the company near New York City. And I remember standing in front of my students feeling like a total fraud, because it was before we came public. Lovesac wasn't quite profitable at that time, just break even. We were running out of money. Our private equity group had no more money to invest. And I thought, how could my business feel as fragile at $70 million as it did at 7 or 70? bucks. You know what I mean? Like and now today at 700, ironically, you know, there's still all kinds of challenges. Competition just gets fiercer, you know, legal, craziness as a public company, of course, all the time. It's just never ending crucible of toughness. At least that's been my experience. And thankfully we've had a lot of success and we're profitable and we employ a lot of people, and I won't begrudge it, but business is hard. Business is, as I say, business is a contact sport. People get hurt, you know, sometimes inadvertently, of their own volition. It's just a tough thing. And I think, it has a glossy exterior. You know, you do really well, you could buy an island someday or something crazy, but, it comes at a cost. And thankfully, I don't know, how did I get the impetus to keep going? My mom, in one of those moments, once asked me, you know, I asked her what I should do at a critical juncture where really maybe I should walk away for lots of reasons. And I explained all of the nuance and I explained all the troubles that I would face going into this bad time at one point years ago. And she's not a business person, but she said, well, you can quit or keep going. So, I mean,
those are the two options at the end of the day.
Two options every day, you know, just to get out of bed. And I don't mean to sound like a depressive. My point is we face these. It's really that simple when it comes down to it. So I just kept going. I don't have a better explanation than that. And gratefully, we're doing great. And I'm really proud of what we're building. And frankly, what's crazy to me is 25 years in, I feel like I could go 25 more. I feel like we could go 25 more and do all kinds of things now that we've figured some stuff out. But it's still not. It's still, you know, there's still always troubles. There's still always work to be done. And so you're never out of the woods, no matter how big you get.
Well, it's because, as you said, every day we have a choice. Do we stay in bed or do we get out of it? And then when you get out of bed, you're going to face troubles. You're going to face challenges. That means that we're alive. That's part of the journey here.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the next 25 years in a couple of minutes, but you do have your book out now. Mm-hmm. Let Me Save You 25 Years. And wonder if you could just share a couple of the highlights with us here. What are some of the things that you want to teach other people to save them that time?
So it's a unique book. I read like every business book. Books have been my mentor. And I wanted to write something different because I've read so many and I love them all. I've learned. But just to, you know, do something different. It's large. It's got full size images. It's more like a coffee table book. You can read the whole thing in 90 minutes. It's very short. And it tells the whole story of Lovestack in some painful detail, actually. I tried to be really vulnerable with it and honest. But it has a story, and then it has like a lesson learned from that story. You know, so I share these 25 years, 25 Seanisms, I call them, from just do something, Seanism number one, all the way to the arc. The final number 25 is pair top ambition with infinite patience. Because, you know, as I've at least modeled, I think that it's easy. I've had to even, I share this in the book, there have been people along the way that I've had to encourage to be patient. People that work for me, people that want their career to grow, but, you know, the company's not there yet, and I want them to stay, so I have to set. And it's hard as a person of ambition to say be patient. You know, it feels antithetical.
That's right.
But here I am, more than 15 years after inventing that couch, and 90% of my sales are still couches. We could have done 100 products, but actually that focus on one thing, at least in our case, has been the reason we've been so successful in that realm. And I think we have the best-selling couch in the United States of America right now. And so, and we're highly competitive. We have the highest gross margins in our category. We're growing when no one else is growing right now. And so my point is, I think there's real magic when you can have top ambition but not be impatient. Now, I'm still driven day to day, but in the long arc, I've learned to roll with things, you know, and take the time to build things well.
Well, of course, when you have ambition, you want it to happen right now, but these things take time. And that actually reminds me of a Bill Gates quote that most people overestimate what they can accomplish in 1 year and underestimate what they can accomplish in 10. Yeah. But if you stay focused on what your ambition is and give yourself the time for it, yes, what you've built is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and, well, and for me, as I observe, I'm disappointed with the state of, like, the pop culture of business. Like, I love that even a book like mine, it's just there for the taking. When I was getting going, we were bootstrapping before that, I think before that word existed. I'm serious. Like, this is like 1998, 99, you know? And it's not to say that there weren't entrepreneurs, but, you know, to be like a college kid with a side hustle, we were doing all these things that seemed strange at the time. We were one of the first to raise venture capital for consumer products. It wasn't even a thing, really. It was new. You know, tech was just, as we know, it was just getting going. What's my point? There's so much resource out there for young entrepreneurs or any entrepreneur these days. And sadly, though, with that resource comes all kinds of twisted perceptions. You know, like, I read every other article about how much money someone raised. How much money someone raised? That's how much money you essentially borrowed to go do your business. Like, why aren't we talking about how much money you're earning or how much money, you know? And I think it's so fashionable to build businesses into the billions that don't even make money. And everyone cites Amazon as the example. Sure, but Amazon is once in a century, you know, in some way, in many respects. And I just believe that real fundamental business principles have gotten twisted in this pursuit of just wealth. I'm looking for an exit. Everyone talks about exits, you know, and maybe, you know, we'll see. History will tell. Maybe I should have exited and surfed more. I surf plenty, and I play with my four kids plenty, and I enjoy my life plenty, but I love building at the same time, and I'm proud of that.
And, you know, what I've seen and what I think is a common understanding in business nowadays is that the best entrepreneurs are the ones who are passionate about what they're building. It's not looking for the exit. It's just saying, here's a problem. Here's a product that I absolutely love. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting from you, that you are just driven by your products and your mission at Lovesac right now, which we haven't even gotten into yet, which we should.
Yeah.
But that's what's driving you. And it sounds like is your advice to other entrepreneurs who may be listening to this to have that passion and think about that rather than the exit.
Yeah, I think even if in the back of your mind an exit is what you want to achieve, when you can look your own partners in the face and be like, I am in for as long as it takes, that is so much more motivational than, you know, I'm trying to buy a boat or something, you know, or an island. Like, no one really wants to hear that. You know, perhaps some VC who wants to, you know, pump you up wants to see that kind of ambition, but to really, really build a culture, man, there's something powerful about everyone, including especially the founder, being all in, no equivocation. And if an exit comes, it comes and we'll deal with that then. And I just think that that is so much more powerful, in my opinion, and culture accretive than talking about raises and exits and all, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I absolutely love that and want to actually dive into what your purpose at Lovesac is and how that's a driving force for what you're doing and informs the culture that you've built as well.
Yeah. So it took us a long time and our purpose has evolved over time. We've stated it and restated it a few different ways. And I think the one that we are on in this chapter of our life will stick for a long time because it will take us a long time to fulfill it. And that is, at Lovesac, we intend to inspire humankind to buy better stuff so they can buy less stuff. And obviously we would love to provide a lot of that better stuff. And we started with couches, better couch, better solution, it's washable, changeable, could be with you the rest of your life. My Sactionals pieces, some of them are 16 years old. They're older than my children, they've grown up on these things. And they're mated with brand new ones and they're mated with Stealth Tech, our hidden surround sound system. And we keep inventing things that are reverse compatible with the pieces you already have, which, by the way, almost no company does that. Instead, you know, they tell us your device is old and it needs to go and a new one needs to come. And we're the opposite. We want you to keep your stuff forever. And we'll do other stuff. We have to, because by the way, if we're radically successful, then there are going to be fewer couches sold on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. We will shrink our own pie. So let's move on to another product and another product and another product and grow this business to be huge. And that didn't come in a day. I just started making beanbags, as I told you. Then we started making couches because people wanted to buy the couch. And from that chicken came the egg, as I like to say, of Designed for Life, which is we realized the reason our couch is so successful is because it was built to last a lifetime, but it can evolve with you as life changes. I'm very open about it. That's our design philosophy. And the reason I'm open about it is because I don't expect lots of other companies, frankly, to do it this way, because it's hard. Like, for us to reinvent a product, truly reinvent it, not just like make something else and put our name on it, but to reinvent the way that thing is used, like Sactionals reinvented couches, takes years. You get patents for it. A lot of great things come of it, you know, but it takes years. And so it's a harder path.
It takes time.
And so time is part of it, but I'm all in. And it's funny because I used to talk about my exit. You know, I used to have a 2-, 3-, and 5-year plan. And now I'm 25 years in. And what's weird is I'm just as passionate about going 25 more if I have to. And I ultimately, if we can achieve what I described, we will be so successful, and I mean profitable and winning, that actually other companies will be compelled to do it like we do it, because it works with people. It works with consumers. It's competitive. And I want that, because that will pull others into making better stuff as opposed to all the garbage that is surrounding us today, because it's hard to even find good stuff because it's been a race to the bottom on costs for lots of reasons that we're all pretty familiar with. And also, we've been conned into thinking we need new jeans or need new phones or need new, you know, when the truth is, all those things could be made better and would be if we just live more, a little more consciously. But the stuff also has to be there. So anyway, I'm hoping we can drive the movement of people buying better so they can buy less. I'm hoping we can create the better. And when those two things meet, and I think it aligns with a lot of things happening in the world and the way that people feel actually in their hearts. And we'll see. But that's my mission for the next 25, if it takes it.
And I'm inspired by that. I hope the other entrepreneurs here are inspired by that as well, thinking about what they're building as being such high quality that that's designed for life for other people as well, because that's really what you're also inspiring. It's not just stuff you're creating. Yeah. You want other business people, other businesses to do more of this
If I'm sincere about what I'm trying to do, then I have to. And that's the reason I talk about it. That's the reason I share it. That's the reason I open source it. At the same time, beyond that idea, which is just one realm, like today we've heard from medical device companies and, you know, investors and real estate, who knows what. There's so many ways, there's a million ways to make $1 million. But in my realm, you know, I've found this purpose that is motivating, not just for me, but for everyone who works at Lovesac. You know, it's so much more motivating than like, let's make the founder richer or let's make the investors richer, you know, and we'll do that too. We will make those investors plenty of money. But my point is we didn't wake up with that purpose. In fact, it took us years and years to discover, but that's okay. We built a good business, a business that got to employ hundreds and eventually thousands along the way. That's good in and of itself. And it's okay if you can't identify that clever purpose. We had the chicken long before we had the egg, but now we have the egg. Mm. And now we will use it to grow other chickens. And and look, it's a clumsy metaphor, but I think sometimes we run around chasing a purpose and, oh, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm supposed to have a purpose. I'm supposed to have a mission, whatever. State those things, try on those things, use those things, but roll with it. You know, not every day. Like, we don't change our strategic guide every day. We treat it like the Constitution. We update it very surgically and carefully. But when we do, we then utilize it. And anyway, it's something I really advocate for, regardless of what realm you play in.
Sean, this has already been absolutely amazing. Thank you. I've just got one last question that I'd like to ask everyone in this context. I always say that the best way for you to learn something, to build a relationship with someone or just connect with the person, is to offer some kind of value for them. If you're going to reach out, don't just ask for something, offer to do something. And so I'm curious, if anyone listening to this wants to connect with you or wants to learn more about this industry or how to apply this Design for Life philosophy to what they're doing, what could they reach out and offer to do that you would be excited to receive?
Thank you. Number one, check out the book, Let Me Save You 25 Years. All proceeds are donated to the Future Business Leaders of America. I'm not taking any money for it. I just put it out there because I've learned things the hard way. Maybe you could shave off a decade or two. The podcast by the same name has some amazing guests. Let Me Save You 25 Years. Amazing. This week, I think it's Gronk. Next is John Mackey. So check that out and slide into my DMs and ask me. You know, I text and DM with customers and entrepreneurs and influencers all day long. I try to be as available as I can be. And I would appreciate them, if nothing else, as I say, buy better stuff and buy less stuff. That's really what I hope for you, regardless of if it's my stuff.
Sean, thanks for being who you are, what you're doing, and for sharing all of this with the community. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.